just fan reaction to Vezina. And again, I'm not endorsing either guy. I'm just saying give them both some patience and a chance, and recognize that you truly don't know much about either one of them. And what in the world was the point that I was about?
It was great. I could tell you were jacked about it.
Oh, my gosh. I totally love it. One texter said some of these fans are the same ones that thought Chris Denson should start. And I'm not even sure he's still in the quarterback room. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, I don't know what I was about to say, Quark.
Well, let me say this before
we get going on.
Dabo Swinney addressed this issue. He also addressed part of this question. SEC hater says on the Adams Corving text line, if Reynolds and Vezina are fairly even coming out of camp, who would you feel as a mental edge to send out in Baton Rouge? You have to send Vezina out first. My thing has always been, though, that putting Reynolds in that environment is kind of unfair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost as unfair as putting Vezina in that environment. I mean, think about it. Christopher Vezina has not taken a single meaningful snap away from Memorial Stadium. Now, he's older, but older doesn't mean experienced all the time. He is still an inexperienced player in that environment. So, I've backed off my stance that if you see Tate Reynolds in Baton Rouge, it's a bad thing. I actually think having both quarterbacks ready to play is necessary. Because even though Christopher Vezina is older, he's experienced, I think you have to have both guys that can play, because we actually don't know how Christopher Vezina is going to respond in any way. It could be literally anywhere in the spectrum. And we have no idea how they're going to respond.
I remembered.
Oh, good. Good.
Don't allow yourself to mentally tie Vezina to last season and Cade Klubnik. And I do think unintentionally there are people who will do that. He's part of last year's disaster, last year's issues. I just want to move on and move away from him. And the reality is he had nothing to do with last year. Nothing. So just don't allow yourself to make that connection, whether you mean to or not.
He was good enough to win against SMU. I think we agree on that. Speaking of the quarterbacks, Dabo Swinney got a question in his press conference. I think this answer is interesting, and I want you to think about maybe the contrast and the tone of this and some of the things that people hated that Dabo has said in recent years about the program. This is in response to a question about, so, who do you think has stepped up and taken control of some of the positions where you're looking for starters? Here's what he said.
Yeah, I don't have any starters. I'm just going to tell you, there ain't nobody starting. Somebody's going to run out there today because you got to go practice. But, you know, we're going to evaluate them every day. And if you run out there first tomorrow, well, then that's because you earned it today. Not because we just think you're supposed to be the best one. That's just where we're at. And that's the type of competition that we have, really, I think, at every position. And we got a lot of competition. So I don't really have a depth chart. I don't really have any starters to give you. I really don't.
That's from Dabo Swinney. I mean, listen.
Have you ever heard him say something like that?
No. And okay, let me walk this out, because coaches do say this to their teams from time to time. And when it comes out, we don't have any starters, but you starters, you better bring it every day. And then just magically all the starters have brought it every day. And they all magically get their positions back. It's wild how that happens, okay? And so I've often sort of said that this can be more lip service, that coaches can just say that. Dabo Swinney hasn't said that. Dabo Swinney's stated position has been that the best guy is going to play, but we all know that the best guy, that he's always like, hey, 6 Mondays ago, the guy had an elite tutoring session, and that counts. And fans have rolled their eyes. Think about it. Fans have rolled their eyes for years about that, about how Dabo's like counting how you hold the door for the janitorial staff and how you enter a film session and you're graded on all this like very mundane stuff that has nothing to do with blocking and tackling, right? It has nothing to do with football stuff. And so they're like, you know, the reason Cole Stout's starting over Deshaun is because how he goes to tutoring. That's ridiculous, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I understand that there's a little skepticism there. But don't you think he means that? I mean, the issue last year was a lack of accountability, maybe even self-accountability, from the self-appointed, self-proclaimed leaders of the team. They did not hold up their end of the bargain. I watched the player interviews. I watched Ashton Hampton yesterday. And Ashton Hampton's talking about this idea that I got to bring it today because I want to go out there first tomorrow. That's a guy that's getting NFL draft talk that's showing up to a microphone and saying that. Now, again, it's easy for lip service there. But if you're a fan that has been critical of Dabo Swinney's framing of his program, is that not red meat for you? Is that not been exactly what you want to be hearing Dabo say? That we don't have starters, even though you as a fan know there are some guys who are running out there first, that you would be absolutely shocked if they weren't. Ben, he's actually saying that in response to the entitlement that everybody knows set in last year.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And that's – does feel like a little bit of a change. You're right. A lot of coaches say that. You do get lip service sometimes. The way that he said that yesterday, I felt was genuine. Now, it's going to be more genuine at some positions than others. I mean, we know that. You know, if he would have said that back in the day if he'd have said that in 2018, he would have gone, except quarterback and running back. <You know? laughs> We know who those guys are.
You know, a defensive line.
Yeah.
Don't you think, and I've got one more clip on to play along these lines. Don't you think that in order for that to be credible, there kind of needs to be some evidence that he's willing to do it?
Yes.
Like, it's one thing to say that, and I think it sounds good what he's saying. But, Ben, doesn't there need to be somebody who, like, at some point in practice runs out with the twos publicly, and you're like, whoa, 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 time out. This is a guy that's supposed to be, you know, I'm not saying Will Helt, but like if Will Helt ran out with the twos and he was like, London Merritt was better yesterday. He's been better in camp. I feel like we need to see that because the one thing that I don't think people will buy, I could be wrong, 654 Roar, if you want to disagree or, you know, if you want to affirm this for me, that'd be great. I'd feel really good about that. I think people are not going to give the benefit of the doubt that all the starters are of a certain caliber and have earned it and shown it. I think that benefit of the doubt is gone now in a way that it wasn't 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. Where, like, could you imagine if Cleveland Farrell was running with the twos and Dabo was like, boy, he didn't earn it. Like, you would be stunned by it. You'd be like, all right, Dabo, this is nonsense, okay? Put Clee out there. This is ridiculous. But don't you think somebody needs to run with the twos? Somebody needs to be actually dealt with this way, where somebody who nobody's thinking about runs with the ones, and it's because of this accountability. Because we have no starters. I think there has to, at some point in camp, there has to be an example of this, because I don't think that people are going to credibly buy until they see it out on the field. All of the starter level guys brought it every single day, and there was no entitlement, and there were no issues. I just don't know if that's true, with one possible exception. Listen to this answer that Dabo gave to a question. It's a very good question that Larry Williams asked about mental toughness. And, okay, Dabo, you said that you want to be mentally tough, but what does that look like comparing last year's team to this year's team?
Yeah, when you lose close games, you lose 3 games by 11 points. You know, you lose 2 on the last play of the game. Again, we've won a bunch of those games too. I mean, we lead the nation in one score wins in the last 15 years. So we've won a bunch, but it didn't go our way last year for that team. And that's my job to make sure that, You know, when it's at its toughest, we're at our best. And so, you know, I like how we've done some things. And that's one of the reasons we ran those hills, you know. And it was awesome to watch them because they weren't very good at the beginning of the summer. None of y'all would be either. It's fatigue will coward you, right? But by the end of the summer, man, and it didn't get easier. And they were in great shape at the beginning of the summer. It didn't get easier. They just learned how to handle the hard better. And it's the same thing in life. You know, you got to kind of go through some things. Life don't get easier either. But we grow stronger from struggle. If you don't quit, if you keep going, you just learn how to handle hard things better that come at you in life. Football's no different. And I've seen that in them. Now we got to go take it to the field. But you know, we've got to be better in that area. You know, because again, it's not like you're getting run off the field. You know, you're tight games. And when you win those games, it's confidence and momentum, and there's a lot of things that come with that. So we've worked hard on that part of it, and, you know, we'll see how it shows up on game day.
All right. A couple things stood out to me in that answer. Fascinating look. He has said many times that the close games are the head coach's responsibility. The entirety of that answer, what are you looking for? He's talking about strength and conditioning in the offseason. And
I think that's where your mental toughness starts, though.
Right, but I think we would say that's the strength and conditioning coach's responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, that we would say, well, that's D-Love. The fact that Dabo feels that it's his responsibility to get the close games right, again, that's a different thing. Now, he did the thing that fans hate where he said, we've won a lot of close games around here, which they have. I mean, he's not just making it up. 15 years, they have won a lot of close games, and they did win close games last year. They did win. Look, 2021, not a good football team, but they won some close games. 2023, not a good football team, but they won some close games. Last year, the difference between 21-23 and last year was close games. No question. Dabo Swinney is taking complete ownership to the point. Do you notice he said that's why we ran the hills? I don't know whose idea it was to run the hills, to run the dikes. But I think Dabo Swinney was like, we need to get back some old school stuff here. This ain't working. We're gonna do some old. We're gonna do some old school strength and conditioning. D Love, you're coming in, but I got a request, okay? And obviously, when the boss requests something, he ain't asking. We're gonna run some hills. We're gonna do some sprints uphill. We're gonna build toughness that way, like the old fashioned way, like the Junction Boys back in the 50s or whatever with Bear Bryant. Like, we're gonna do that. Dabo's taking this stuff really personally, boys and girls, to the point that he is taking full responsibility for something that we would all say is strength and conditioning's deal. Again, like it all falls under the purview of the head coach. But I did think that was interesting that, you know, Dabo took a little credit for running those dikes. I think we all were like, oh, D-Love making him run the dikes. I wonder if Dabo made him run the dikes and D-Love presided or something to that effect. That Dabo was very much hands-on. That also leads to another thing that you and I beat back all the time, which is people think that whatever Dabo touches crumbles to ash. I actually like that Dabo's in on this because I think it's going to work. I think that's the kind of stuff that does work when you've got very old. We're going to run up a hill today, guys. We're going to do it over and over and over again. They could have done that 700 years ago, run up a hill. You don't need any modern medicine or you know, cutting-edge techniques. You're just running up a hill, and you're walking down, and you're running up again and walking down, and they're going to build toughness that way. I think it's a great idea, and it was intriguing to me that he made the point that mental toughness is his responsibility, and the way we're going to fix it is the strength and conditioning. That was fun. Stay with us. We got more on the football side when we return right after this.
The countdown is on. Is on. 29 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the saving.
Watson in shotgun. Takes the shotgun snap. Play action. Wants to throw. Going long. Look for Mike Williams. Up he goes the ladder and makes the grab.
at the Alabama 31.
105.5. 97.5. The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
careers.arthrex.com. You want to be part of a winning team? Arthrex is that spot. They are right at the forefront of surgical and orthopedic technology, getting everybody from weekend warriors to fresh athletes back in the game. Dr. Steve Martin is amazing. I love listening to him on Mickey's show. That team at Arthrex is doing tremendous work. They treat people so well that it sort of leads to, the way they treat people leads to the quality of the products and the quality of the service that they provide. And there are so many ways that you can help out that process of being right at the forefront of the technological advances in that industry right here in the upstate. Sandy Springs right there between Clemson and, Pendleton and Anderson. For more on what's available right now, go to careers.arthrex.com.
We got buzzer beaters, walk-offs, and Hail Mary.
To the house!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
I'm here with Jeannie Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Jeannie, this Medicare caller says she has so many options. She doesn't know where to start. What would you tell her?
Hello, listener. If you're turning 65 soon or getting ready to retire and don't know where to start, call us at Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. We will make your life easier. We will set you on the right path to starting your Medicare, and we will make it as painless as possible. Whether you're deciding which path to take, signing up, or if you have a problem that you've not been able to solve after your enrollment, call us. We have agents who will assist you wherever you are in the process. Our number is 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. Call us at Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. We look forward to helping you.
Have those annoying fruit flies in your kitchen that just won't seem to go away? You made sure you don't have any more fruit left out, and they just keep showing up, even all around the house, in the kitchen, and the bathrooms now too. The reality is they're probably not fruit flies. They're really drain and sewer flies. Our high-powered hydrogen equipment at Ace is the ideal solution for both drain clearing and cleaning as well. The pressure from the water will clean away the junk that's built up in your drains that flies love to feed on. Get rid of those flies for good through drain treatment with Ace at acehomeco.com.
Injured in a wreck and now the insurance company's ghosting you? Classic move. They're quick to collect premiums, but when you need help, disappeared. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramon Mills Law Firm. We don't chase, we confront. You call us and we bring the pressure, loud and legal. What's up, QB? We're about to ring your bell. We may talk a little trash, but we back it up with action. Call 864-485-8585 or visit TramonMills.com. Tramon Mills, we don't do quiet.
Are you ready to fly out west? Breeze Airways is back with the region's only nonstop flights to Los Angeles, California from GSP International Airport. Enjoy low fares, no change or cancellation fees, and convenient nonstop service. Make your next trip seriously nice on Breeze Airways. Visit flybreeze.com to book your flight from GSP today.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfila.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
If you're just looking for a place to talk some ball,
hey, yeah, let's go!
Falcon Banner, who you want to call?
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks.
Just sports.
Out of bounds.
Right here on The Roar,
your upstate sports authority.
Moving pretty slow today, not going to lie. Hour two continues. I mean, fast, you know, show's moving fast. Like, we're halfway done. What have we even talked about? A little Clemson football, obviously. A little Clemson football. I got. I mean, listen. Texter asked me this. Please don't tell me I'm getting hyped up for no reason. See, I don't think this is. I don't think this is needless hype. Let me ask this question out there. Okay, this is a true story. Okay, last year, many of you had more questions that you were readily asking about the best players on the team itself, some of the coaching. There were questions being asked that did not match the national narrative about last year's team, but you had them, and you were right. I'm just throwing this out there. Again, I said this a couple days ago, and I'm still sort of trying to figure out where this fan base exactly is. Are you not feeling better about this year's team than you did last year? And let me put a finer point on that.
No. Well, can I go ahead and answer that?
Yeah, sure.
No, they're not feeling better about this team than they did this time last year. They're not even close.
Fan base?
Yeah. This was a playoff team this time last year. This was what, ranked fourth preseason? Although they failed. We felt great this time last
year. See, I feel like we were asking a lot of questions.
Oh, I don't.
Locally?
I think people
had lots of doubts.
I don't think we were having enough this time last year.
I guess there were some that were. Let me say, right. Like, there were a lot of folks with questions that sort of begrudgingly were like,
man, think about that. Think if you're preseason top 10 and like second most returning production in the nation and predicted to win the ACC and your quarterback's on the Heisman watch list, it wasn't even close this time last year. You're thinking more the end of the season than the beginning of the season.
I'm thinking about people acting like, because remember we talked about 7 first-round picks, and people were like, that's not going to happen. Like, no Clemson fan was like, great, let's find 8. I just think there were Clemson fans that were like, are we not going to ask this question? Almost begrudgingly saying, okay, well, I guess if you say so. But I felt like locally there were a lot of questions being asked about last year's team that the narrative, and some of the narrative was good. We talked about it. Some of the logic that people were using, not necessarily bad logic, to throw Clemson in there.
Well, listen, for this year, August is the reason that we even have August and we allow that to be a month is so that you can be optimistic and hyped. That's the purpose of August. So
actually,
why not?
Yes.
I mean, knock yourself out.
Aaron gets in and says, Quawk, what makes this year feel different than last other than fuzzy feel-good coach speak? You know what makes it feel good? And again, maybe I'm being a little nitpicky here. But remember last year, we heard a lot of, they got to go prove it, about like the things that people were sure about. Got to go prove it. And I guess maybe the difference this year is there's nobody that people are even asking about that because everyone obviously has to go prove it. There's like no one that doesn't have to go prove it. So maybe that's why the coaches aren't saying that every time. But remember how many assistant coaches were talking about their big players? I've got to go prove it. It's like, well, everyone thinks that these guys are going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, and 10 in the NFL draft. So they got to go prove it. They got to go prove it. They got to go. We heard it a million times. And so maybe that's it. Maybe it's that this team has nobody that people assume doesn't have to go prove it.
I have a total different recollection of last year than you do. Because I feel like I was pushing back against that every single day, that I was saying they've got to prove it. And how many times have we referenced a good half against Texas as the basis for the entire team going forward?
You know, and I'll admit this. You're right. I mean, I'll admit this. There was no reason to be on paper to be pessimistic about Clemson like across the board. There was no reason to think they would tank the way that they did. I kind of felt like there were more people, especially by the end of the offseason. Well, by the end, it was everybody's winning the national championship by the end of camp. I feel like people became more aligned with your view. You were leading the charge, Ben. You were out there with Washington crossing the Delaware. I just read about that this morning. You were Washington crossing the Delaware.
Wait. You read about Washington crossing the Delaware this morning?
And I thought, this is what Ben did last July.
Was it in a Bible study?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not. I've been reading the history of Washington around the Constitution.
We are not the same.
See, I just let me.
I'm scrolling TikToks and you're reading history about Washington Carlson. That's fantastic.
Texter said, "Sorry, Quag, Ben is right. Last year, our biggest concern was a punter. Here's the things that I mean. Okay, this is what I'm talking
and
about.
And you told us we didn't even need a punter.
No, I said if they got seven first round.
Thank
picks,
you, Texter.
You don't even need to punt.
You told us we didn't even need a punter because we were going to be so good.
You don't even need it." If you have seven first-round picks, you don't need it. That was what I said. The rap poison. Remember, we did rap poison of the week. We did rap poison of the week or rap poison of the day. It ended up being last. Where we would throw some absurd thing up there. Clemson could have seven players at the top, 18 NFL draft picks. Peter Woods had like three career sacks or whatever. And people are like, well, I mean, I guess if they say he's going to be great, I guess we'll see. You know, I guess he's going to be great.
On the George Washington thing, Ben Listener says, don't let him fool you, Ben. It was really a Nate Bargatze skit from Saturday Night Live.
Nobody knows. Texter from the 864 says, my circle was expecting a 10-plus point loss to LSU last year this time. Going into this season, we are expecting a 21-plus point loss. That's interesting. I mean, don't you think that quarterback alone is responsible for that? And venue alone is responsible for that? I mean, I would say venue is responsible for 6 points. You go from +3 for Clemson to -3 going on the road. Texter says, it's safe to say the fan base is freaking out because this is the first time since the beginning of the Dabo era there isn't confidence that we will be contenders. See, I don't this is where this is coming from for me. I think last year was so rough that I don't think people are bummed. I don't think Clemson fans are just cowering in the corner asking LSU for mercy in game one and asking Miami for mercy in game four. I think people, again, probably because the national folks are asking a million questions. I feel like a lot of Clemson fans are like, let's go, let's see, let's go do this. Let's see if this really is different. I think the taste that people had last year was so sour that Clemson fans are ready to not have prima donna stars that are maybe not as committed to the little things needed for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clemson fans are ready to just see what they have at quarterback. But I don't think there's fear. Like, I don't get this. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally missing this. Maybe it is the 11-hour plane ride I had yesterday from Milan. But I don't think the Clemson fan base is, like, in the fetal position begging for mercy. I'm not having those conversations. I think there are people who think that Clemson has a better chance. I think the average Clemson fan does not think Clemson's going to win at LSU. But I think the average Clemson fan thinks they're going to cover. That they're going to put a better foot forward.
Yeah, and I think many believe there is a chance. There is a chance. Because you don't know a whole lot about LSU either. You don't know much about your team. You don't know much about their team. I get it. But you think back to other fan bases in this area every single year that have not been very good. I'm not going to mention their names, South Carolina. This time of year, Quok, those fan bases, well, you know, if things, I can see 10-2, and you miss a bowl game. You know, it happens every year in August. It just does. Wherever your confidence grows, the closer you get to the opener, And that's fine. That is what August is here for.
I do. It is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Where you start squinting a little harder. The same schedule you've looked at 80 times. You're like, you know, Miami has to come to us, though. You know, like, yeah, Cal's a long trip, but that the talent level, I mean. I think listen to Dabo talk about the hunger in the program. I think if there's something to that, you should be excited.
Yeah. I'll tell you this about last season, and I'll tie it to this. There were issues in the program that I don't think we knew. They were not talent-related. They were entitlement-related. And I don't know that anybody of trying to evaluate the program could have picked up on that. And I was resistant to the idea that you had that going on the program and in the program until later in the season. And now I'm convinced more than ever that was a major issue last year. You had guys not giving their best. And that is another thing. You just never accounted for that because that is not a characteristic of a Dabo Swinney-led football team. But that doesn't mean, as we now know, that it can't still happen. I mean, like, you're not immune to those things. And that was an area that I just don't know that we would have known in August last year.
We couldn't have possibly.
Right.
Even if you thought maybe there was some of that, you couldn't have possibly thought the extent.
Right. Fast forward to this year. That is one of those, you know, anybody can watch a practice and tell who's talented or not. It's tough to know their hunger and their desire and their work ethic from the little bit of exposure we have to those guys. But in what you hear from coaches and all, there is a definite different tone when you were talking about those types of things. And, you know, the segment – in the last segment, playing you the clip from Dabo about the mental toughness, there's a different tenor to what he is saying there this year versus last. So, you know, this team on paper this year is probably not as talented as last year's.
No.
But there's a great chance they could be better than last year. They better be better than last year's.
Let me
because of these other things.
This might be a better way to phrase what I'm arguing. I think Clemson fans got tired of going to war with last year's team every week.
Agreed.
Even when they were, like, when they turned it around and they won some at the end, I think Clemson fans were ready to go to battle with different people. And I think Clemson fans actually, after years and years of sort of being told, like, we're one this away, or we're one that away, or we'll make this change, or we'll do this thing, or whatever, I think Clemson fans just want to go to bat for a team of young, hungry, enthusiastic, desperate fighters with elite coordinators that have schemes that make sense and are going to do things that make sense and aren't going to just make mind-numbing decisions. I mean, you know, that maybe they will, but you see what I'm saying? I think Clemson fans are just ready to do that. They're ready to go because Clemson fans haven't gone to war with a team like this in 15 years. Maybe you could argue 2014 a little bit because you had, like, Watkins was gone and, like, you had the quarterback change. You didn't know exactly what you had with Deshaun, all that stuff. Maybe 2014 is the last time that Clemson fans went to war with a team like this. But I think Clemson fans are ready to go to war for a team that not much is expected of. I think it's sort of a thrilling thing. It's sort of like, as a baseball fan, when you get a couple good prospects up there, like when Acuna and Albies and those guys are coming up for the Braves, you're like, all right, we can do this. Like, they weren't trying to win World Series right away. But for fans, you're like, all right, let's go to war with these young guys. Let's do something else. I really like it. Texter said, let me see this here. Texter said, I moved on to basketball by mid-season, mid-October. Yeah, I think for a lot of fans, they're ready to do something else.
Well, we don't want you to move on this year, but we do want you to add basketball in mid-October.
Get excited, people. I've been around them. You're going to want to get excited about that. Short break. We'll come back. Much more right after this.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar,
your upstate sports authority.
Fall is around the corner, folks. That means football season's around the corner. That means this is the time to go and outfit yourself, your kids, your husband, your wife, your significant other, your dog, your car, your house, your tailgate at Tiger Sports Shop. Everything you need before kickoff is right there. The latest Clemson gear, the hoodies, the Nike sideline apparel. They've got everything you need to show that Tiger pride. Two Clemson locations, very convenient, downtown Highway 123. You can also order online at tigersports.com. Decades, five of them, where Dr. Ibrahim and now his wife Julie and their team have been outfitting Clemson fans. Tigersports.com or visit Tiger Sports Shop in Clemson.
Bro, college, or local.
They got it all.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Every decision counts, and IMS makes it easier. From motors and pumps to gearboxes and drives, Industrial Motor Service delivers proven solutions that save money, reduce downtime, and simplify purchasing. Whether you need a repair or a replacement, they've got you covered with clear quotes, quick responses, and decades of repair history to guide the right call. For 35 years, plant managers and procurement leaders have trusted Industrial Motor Service. IMS, your partner since 1989. Visit industrialmotorservice.com.
The road to success, well, it isn't always a straight one, but it's so much easier getting there with a good education. I tell my kids every day before dropping them off at school, don't take this for granted. Tuition assistance from the South Carolina Education Lottery helped me go back to school when I needed to make a change. And I'm so grateful because now I am where I'm supposed to be.
Better opportunities means a better South Carolina. And a better South Carolina means a better you. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
This is Dr. Ted Swan with Tiger Diagnostics. We always put patients first. Did you know that it's your right to choose which lab you use? At our draw centers, we have clean spaces and friendly faces with little to no waiting. Come with your doctor's order or test on your own with one of our signature health panels. These panels are designed to give you valuable insight to empower your health. Check us out at tigerdiagnosticslab.com. Locations in Seneca, Anderson, Greenville, and after hours in Piedmont.
At Tiger Moving Company, we know your move is more than boxes. It's about trust. As your Greenville neighbors, we treat every move with care and respect. Our trained team handles your belongings as if they were their own, making sure each item arrives safely, recognized with multiple awards. We are Greenville's top choice for reliable moving services. Visit our website, tigermovinggreenville.com, or call 990-890-28 today to experience the Tiger difference. Tiger Moving Company, where your move is our mission.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore, co-owner of Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Summer is here, and every cookout, pool day, and road trip deserves a better snack option. Poppington's is popped fresh in Greenville using real beef tallow from our family farm, never seed oils, for a rich flavor and perfect crunch you can feel good about. Find us in downtown Greenville at all AMPM Farms Butchery and Market locations or order online at poppingtons.com. Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn, proudly owned, proudly popped.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantyconfixit.com.
Summer in the Upstate is more than a season. It's a way of living. Evenings that linger a little longer, quiet luxury, thoughtful experiences, and homes that reflect not just where you live, but how you live. For those seeking something exceptional, whether it's a refined in-town residence, a private retreat, or a legacy property near the water, don't keep falling into the trap of maybe one day. Morgan Coleman offers a tailored approach to buying and selling with intention, and you can search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online this summer to make your dreams come true.
Walk can get a little excited sometimes.
And a cold, three for the win. Yes! And a cold with 3.1 seconds left.
Come join the party.
Out of Bounds from noon to three, right here on The Roar.
I'm about to have a good day. No matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day in every single way. The God who made the universe knows me by my name, so it's a good day. Baby in my arms, walking through the neighborhood.
It is a good day.
It is a good day.
It's a great day.
I agree. I agree with Forrest on that one. Texter said, we just want to see good, smart football.
Yes.
Honestly, Ben, I do think that is a pretty low bar that Clemson fans... This is part of it, too. It didn't have anything to do with the players. But, like, can we get through a 12-game schedule without, for the first time in 3 years, without being like, hey, what in tarnation was that? Why'd you take your best defender off the field and lose a game you were ahead in the fourth quarter at home against your rival? Why'd you do that? 2023 or 2024? Hey, why'd you forget to run the ball once a month? Literally just never did it. Didn't even think about it. Why'd you do that? That's weird and crazy and asinine. Just stop doing weird, crazy, asinine stuff, and you'll probably end up pretty good. Peanut is all over this. Ben, we were talking about this during the break. I don't know what to make of. I'm tired of handicapping this congressional bill. I'm tired of handicapping it whether it's going to pass or not. Because every time I think it's going to pass, 58 amendments get proposed. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that's going to do.
Tell the people which one you're talking about.
We are talking about the Senate version. This is the Protect College Sports Act. I think we're at version 11.7-A right now. Where every time that's about to come to the floor, there are objections and amendments proposed and all this kind of stuff. Ross Dellinger is throwing out some wild proposals that may have some very immediate ramifications here and elsewhere.
Yeah, he's documenting the amendments that are getting tacked onto this, which is very custom. I mean, that's customary. That happens really with every bill, but... Some of these are getting real, and we are, as of today, closer than we have ever been to this hitting the Senate and possibly becoming a real thing. You tell me if you disagree, Quok. For some, I believe we are closer than we're already closer than many believed would ever be possible.
Correct. That I would say yes.
One of these amendments that hit today could have a big impact on the ACC and or Clemson University.
This is from Ross Dellinger today.
Ramona's coming in laughing. I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Did she bring our luggage? Did she find our luggage
yes.
from Milan?
She is dragging in luggage as we speak. That'd okay, anyway.
This is what it says in part. This is Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports. He's been all over this. In Section 205 of the latest revised copy of the now 116-page legislation, I think at one point it was like 120-something, and before that it was less than 100, so now we've settled at 116. Conferences earning at least $700 million in revenue are prohibited from merging with one another or acquiring new members. Okay, so... SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and Big 12 would not be able to add members. Not only, this is Dellinger writing, not only does the concept freeze in place the current membership of the power leagues,
but it prevents schools in the Group of Six conferences, such as the Sun Belt, Mountain West, or American, from joining the big leagues. So it essentially locks down all the leagues. There's some idea that maybe they would go to 19. They would say you can't grow to more than 19. I think that's one iteration of this bill or one of the proposed amendments. Then it says this: while some interpret Section 205 differently, those who helped develop the language on Capitol Hill confirmed with Yahoo Sports that a provision prevents the four conferences from acquiring any new member, even those in the G6. But now, there is a proposal today, just today, that would essentially allow you to not abide by this if you leave your conference within 180 days of passage of the bill. So essentially, if this thing passes next week, let's say, next Friday, August 14th, then, and if it has this provision, you can't do it, that you get 180 days to decide if you want to leave your league. So we've talked about, would a bill like this, would it expedite expansion? The answer, if that provision is in there, is almost certainly yes. If they say there's no grace period, you're in now, then no. I don't think conference expansion is going to happen within the next week. Then that would lead to some very interesting conversations broadly across the spectrum. And essentially, if you think of college athletics as a Titanic and the SEC and the Big Ten have the two functional life rafts, you have a lot of folks desperately jockeying for seats on the life rafts.
A couple of questions here that come to mind. The first is, and maybe the bigger one for me, what caused this to be added? Did a conference commissioner, did a president of a university contact their senator and say, hey, we've been talking about jumping to X conference, and it would be unfair for you to lock us in where we can still jump, but a 5-year penalty would sink us. You need to give us a little bit of a grace period here to see what we're going to do. Quack, I think it might take somebody more than a conference, than a school president, an athletic director, to have that conversation with a senator to have this added. But if a conference commissioner does it, then you are talking about multiple states, multiple schools, multiple senators. And that's what it would take, I believe, to have an amendment like this added. So who are they talking about? So, I mean, that number one, to me, that signals that there is expansion conversations happening as we speak. Am I off base?
No, you're not. Did you see, by the way, you might think, well, that's unrelated. I don't think it is unrelated. Did you see the one-on-one with Marco Rubio the other day where they asked, like, if you didn't have anything to do, how would you spend a day off?
Oh, yes, that was awesome.
And he said, I would watch college football from 9 a.m., which that starts college game day, all the way to the last play at 1 a.m.
Did you happen to see the AI picture of him in, like, the White House bunker with all of those monitors on different football games? Oh, it was fantastic.
So Marco Rubio's the Secretary of State. You might think, well, Quag, he's not a senator. He's not a representative. What is this? He has lots of friends in the Senate, folks.
He's becoming more powerful by the day.
This is a – well, yeah, he's going to – he has, like, 9 jobs, right? Yeah. There's the one meme of him on the couch. This amendment was introduced by a congressperson from Florida.
Yes, and Peanut, we were going to get to that, but you're exactly right. FSU and Miami certainly fall under his jurisdiction, so to speak.
This is an interesting little note. This is sort of just buried in the Dellinger piece.
Maybe it's the Florida Gators wanting to get out of this.
What? We've talked about this. Why aren't there a couple schools that you hear like, hey, this is too hard? It's too hard. Can we? We'll trade you.
Well, they all say it's too hard, but they just don't want to leave.
We'll trade.
It's not hard enough to leave.
Hey, what if revenue sharing did pass? Do you think they'd be like, we'll take Clemson for Mississippi State? Let Mississippi State be in the ACC.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
In an interesting wrinkle, this is in the Dellinger piece. 7 ACC universities did not independently send a letter to lawmakers supportive of the legislation, according to documents released by the Senate Commerce Committee.
Oh, listen. If you're not one that's been rumored to be for other conference to be interested in you from the ACC, then you are not for this.
You
like if you are Virginia Tech, I'm just picking a school at random. If you're Georgia Tech, you want this to pass without the amendments tomorrow.
Yes.
Because then you are your conference is effectively locked.
Well, you would think that. Let me read you the schools.
I would
say the same thing.
I just picking random schools.
If you're Boston College, right, you would be supportive of this. Except Boston College did not send a letter supporting the legislation. Boston College is on the list. Listen to this list. This would be like pin the tail on the donkey of the map of the ACC and you just like put 7 play. It doesn't make any sense. Boston College, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Cal, Miami, and Virginia.
These are the schools that did not send a letter?
That did not. Cal, Boston College, and Georgia Tech did not.
I retract everything I just said.
Like,
what in the world?
What you're saying is right, though. You want a lot. Like, if you're one of those member schools, Wake Forest, that is not going anywhere. You're trying to trap Clemson and Florida State in to help subsidize in your athletic department. That's 100% what you should be doing. North Carolina's Chancellor Lee Roberts was one of 5 presidents or chancellors from the state's FBS universities to sign a letter to lawmakers. So North Carolina continues to have no idea what they're doing. They want to be out of the ACC, but they also wanted Stanford and Cal in. Remember that? They had the identity crisis where them and NC State were like, we're not sure, athletics and the president of the school, we're not really sure what we're doing. And they basically were like halvesy on adding Stanford and Cal and SMU. Feels like it's what they're doing right now. Everybody knows that they have a very good chance to go to the Big Ten or SEC, but they're signing their death warrant.
Feels that way.
That's what this is. So I don't really know what's going on with this, but keep monitoring that. It feels like this, man, I don't know. I've said 80%. I'm going to say there's a 58% chance this gets voted on before recess.
Yeah, but I mean, whether or not that stays part of it or not, that was added for a reason. That was added at somebody's request. So who is the somebody? That's the million-dollar question.
Oh, it's got to be Florida State, right? Florida State has not been, like, they don't move in the shadows. They walk out in the sun and broadcast to everyone what they're doing.
Yeah.
If it's a Florida congressperson that's putting it forward, guaranteed Florida State had something to do with it.
What you just said is the only thing that makes me think it wasn't because Florida State hasn't already told us that they're the one that did it.
That's a great point. When we come back, we still have not played my one-on-one interview with Ben Boulware. We're going to do that in the third hour of the show. We've got some more to discuss after that's done. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.